All right, so number three. Start me off on number three, this team. Arthur, do you want to take a voice just on part of number three, then pass it around the table?
Yes, we... have to check that, identify the person, the core competencies that the role involved.
Oh, them's big words.
What was his?
You've been on a pivotal or Brett Davidson course, haven't you? I bet you got service propositions back at your office. Okay. Okay. So there's something wrong with role. Turn that to a question, Arthur. Make that a question.
Yeah. What do we want from the position that we are trying to fulfill? What is the job description?
Okay.
What's the key characteristics
of
the requirement of that person to fulfil the job? What key characteristics of the job?
Yeah, there's two things. Okay. There's the person.
Yeah.
And there's the job itself.
Okay. I'd probably start with the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the key characteristics of the role in order that what? Have a look at the hint there. Question number one.
Do you know what the core competencies are?
In order that what? Have a look at the hint.
Is the strategy achieved?
Yeah.
Roles fulfilled, correct?
Is the role fulfilling the business strategy, and therefore what are the characteristics of the role in order to fulfil the business strategy? Okay. Carry on to the next point, this team, on question three.
Am I the right person to interview them?
That's an interesting question. Did anybody else think of that? I didn't think of that. Should I be doing this? Why? Why ask that question?
What we talked about was the fact that actually to have two heads is better than one, and maybe to have somebody else who's, you outsource somebody else to come in, because if you say, well, these are the set parameters, these are the core competencies that we're looking for and everything else, they can look at the person objectively. Whereas I'm saying, well, I'm sitting 3 feet away from them for 24 hours in the week, am I going to hate them?
Yeah.
You know, and it's more of a personal thing.
Interesting. So talk to me about this interviewing process, and what sort of thing influence, what sort of things, Kate, Steam, and what sort of things influence the way you make decisions at an interview? Tell me what happens there.
Ask the question again, sorry, Dave.
What sort of things influence the way you interview and make decisions at that interview? What kind of things come into that process that influence you?
Your prejudices.
Okay. About...
Who do you see it?
Go on.
North of the border.
Got no
trouble.
They've spent the Glasgow. That's it. Newcastle are out. Okay, other things that influence you during that process?
Previous experiences, that's the wrong thing there. Are they going to do what the other services you have been in the past?
Okay, what other things do influence? Whether they should or not, I'm not asking that. What do influence? Jean, any other things?
Whether you like the person before
you... Yeah. Do I like them?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Okay, anything else that influences you?
What are we talking about body shape, are they huge?
Yeah. Body shape and mass?
Are they huge Scotsman?
This is where we defer to Nigel Barker Smith and every workshop, because he deals with certainly shaped 30-year-old blondes, as he's actually got stuck with that for life now. All right, anything else? yes. And there'll come a day when I'm brave enough to send his wife a recording of these workshops. Anything else, this team, and then we'll move on to the other teams for the other questions, that influence you at this interview? Whether they're right or not, but they do influence you.
Maybe it works before, perhaps.
Okay. Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean very good.
Well, before, yeah.
Education.
Yeah.
How old they are.
Yes.
Religion, race.
Yeah.
Well, that's all prejudice.
Yeah, religion and value systems. Yeah. Can you see how influenced we are?
I think how they sound.
Yeah.
How they sound.
Tell me about that.
Well, I guess that all revolves around...
What do you mean by that, mate?
Your business strategy, doesn't it?
Go on.
Dialect.
Yeah, you might find it difficult. Somebody from deepest Lancashire understanding them what they're saying on the telephone.
Well, you know, I chuckle, but we've had a major problem getting these workshops transcribed.
Yeah.
The transcripts came back saying, "What? What are they saying there?" Oh, it's Steve from Newcastle. And then, really sorry, can't understand this accent. Really, it's caused a huge problem. It probably took Sam an extra 2 days to get through the problems that the transcriber had with all the accents. So we had to keep we changed the transcriber.
So when you're in your discovery meetings, there's no Geordies or...
No, I don't have discovery meetings with Geordies and Scotsmen. No. I couldn't possibly transcribe that, could I? No chance. But, you know, all these influences and prejudices come up. Maybe we're not the right person to conduct the whole of the interview. So just think about that. Interesting question. All right, let's move on to question number 4. So you're asking a lot of questions about yourself to get to the root of the problem. And what you're saying is, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe there's a problem in this whole thing that I've done here to get this person on board in the first place, including, am I lousy at training? Am I just pathetic and hopeless at training people to do a particular professional job? Is that just not my skill? Question number 4. This table. Alan's. Alan's table.
Be clear about the real problem. The boss is the real problem.
Okay.
Fundamentally.
And what has the boss done to make that a problem?
It appears that he either has little or no recruitment skills.
Okay.
He hasn't defined the client requirement and the level of service. It's implied that we've got key clients and a senior admin role.
Uh-huh.
That's implied, but there's no specific standards set to meet the requirements for great service for those clients.
All right.
And out of that come ability to train, ability to recruit, monitoring, measuring performance.
I'm just going to pick up on that. Who has a personnel measurement, personnel performance measurement process in their business? I'm measuring how you're performing against written agreed criteria. Who has that?
We did do, but we didn't understand what core competence
was. So blew them out of the water. Failed their first training test. What do we do with them now? Paying them £25,000 a year. All right. It's a problem, isn't it? So what are the basic steps then that you need skills in as a business, not you personally, in order to get this person as close to perfect as you could possibly get the person? What are the steps that you have to work through? What skills do you need to get this person from a stranger to a perfect employee fulfilling the role properly? What steps do you need to be able to do? Okay, before you recruit...
Identify the role.
Spec the role. Then what?
Put together a good job specification.
Okay, get that written. So that you can outsource that to somebody to, who would understand what core competency means and sounds like and is said.
The outcomes of the role.
Okay, yeah, and outcomes. Then what skill do you need? I don't mean what you have to do, what skill do you personally need as a business in order to get this done properly?
Personnel.
Delegate?
Well, before they have not come on board yet.
You want some candidates.
You want some candidates, and
you
what skill?
You
do. Okay, so you've done your job spec, it's written down. Now, what skills do you need?
Analysis.
Interview. Yeah, you need interviewing skills. You need, need to know how to write an advert if you're not using an agency. You need to know how to do all this. And I have to tell you, this is not what you bought into when you became an IFA. This isn't what you bought into. So all of a sudden, this business is throwing stuff at you, actually you're no good at. And if you're good at it, you've learnt it kind of just by doing it, then it may be a great way, but it may actually be an appalling way of conducting the exercise. Interviewing, what happens after interviewing?
Selecting.
Once they're on board? They're on board.
Training.
Yeah. Who here is a skilled trainer?
And then what happens?
Then what you've got to be able to do as a skill, as a business leader.
Lead?
Yeah, you've got to be able to lead them. How about their performance?
Gonna
monitor and measure that. And then what must happen on a regular basis?
Feedback.
Yeah, you've got to be able to review that formally and informally. It's a lot of skills. Have a look at it. And your responsibility as business leader is set up a system and a process and a condition whereby that happens in the best possible way, even if, as Kate said, you don't do it yourself. That's quite a lot of responsibility, but unless you set up that condition, you're going to end up with a lot of trouble. And the trouble will then stop the business freeing you to live the life that you want. You just create another nightmare within your business where, we were talking, Arthur and I, where you delegate stuff and you actually multiply the problem. You think, right, Dave Scott has taught me, I can't have everything bottleneck on me, right, I get that, so I'm now going to delegate it to this problem. Another question Arthur asked me was, and this happens a lot, I outsourced and I had to bring it back inside because it just was a mess. Well, that's another condition that you've created. You're not skilled at defining the right outsource organisation for you. That's not a skill you've learnt yet, and it's a learnable, teachable skill, and most people in business get it wrong. Which is why they hold it inside so they can monitor and micromanage everything that goes on.
Is it fair to ask what it was that you outsourced? I mean,
yes, I was doing pilot planning and I took on a girl from Sheffield and it was all done it was emailing back and forth and it just really didn't work. And you might be right, David, that maybe I didn't get a specific role that I wanted her to do,
and
tell her exactly what I wanted from it.
Or know how to test whether actually they were competent or not.
Well, that's right.
All those kind of...
And there were various problems.
Yeah.
So
all these things are tests of our business skills, not our skills as IFAs. But if we could just get them right, we create the conditions whereby we can get rid of this stuff and it works sweetly and it frees us. Does that make sense? So that's what this test was all about, this exercise. Any other comments moving down the page before we close on this exercise?
I think you've covered what we've got.
Yeah? Okay. Cool. This was not about... It is a long time, isn't it? What does that spell out to you about this particular business? Yeah, poor management, poor monitoring, poor measurement, poor monitoring of the process. So this exercise wasn't about recruitment, really, was it? It was about your ability as a business leader to think through, not to do, but to think through, how do I set conditions and systems so that this happens well? That's all we're testing here, not recruitment. Yep, let's turn on. We're almost there. On page 45, Ian, can you read that heading nice and loudly and the circle in the centre? It's not grey, but read it anyway.
TTF systems, what's going wrong? TTF is about far more than being fair to customers. It's about running a business which consistently delivers.
I'd like you, apart from the central circle, to take your pen and where you see the mnemonics TCF, cross them out.
Say that again, sorry, David.
Wherever you see the mnemonics TCF, cross them out. Apart from the circle. There may only be one place.
Yeah,
I think he's meaning here. Yeah, I've got the heading. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with TCF. It's just about business systems. And this is really not an FSA thing. This is, you know, they've outsourced and brought in skills here to say, well, how does a business really run effectively? And skilled people have been brought in who say, well, this is how you run an effective business. You have to create these systems. And they're giving it a label, TCF, which hacks off the whole of the IFA industry. Because, of course, I treat my clients fairly. What do you mean? How dare you? Is what I see all around the industry. It's got nothing to do with TCF. Are you capable as a business leader of creating systems which deliver this stuff? Is the question. Take your pen, if you would. And these are things that TCF ask of you. Whatever you think is worrying you in each of those boxes, just tick it. Whatever is a problem that you think, oh blimey, that's how it feels in my business, just tick it. Two of the three words that really grabbed me there. You ready? And this is a struggle I've had with a number of you where I've had to say, I don't understand that. Clarity. Simplicity. And consistency. The reason why I've asked all of you to start creating service menus and client journeys, because I haven't a clue what you're talking about when you talk to me about what happens to your clients. Just don't get it. Until you started to sketch it out for me, I think, oh, I get that. And if I don't know what's going on after 20 years in the business, goodness knows what a prospective client feels, but won't tell you because they're too embarrassed. And they're already struggling in the relationship before the relationship's even started. I don't actually understand this, man. What's he talking about? But they just stay there because they're desperate for some help. Clarity, simplicity, consistency. I've seen fee structures that took 30 minutes for the IFA with a flip chart and pen to get me to understand the fee structure. 30 minutes before I understood it. I just sat there going, I feel really stupid. You do not want to make your clients feel really stupid. And also, you know the client journey we've been going on about? That Kate looks at her and thinks, Arthur's got my client journey. Okay? Well, I've decided to start putting them in a little folder, a little pamphlet, so all of you can read them. So as we build them up, I'm going to show it around the team. If you don't want me to do that, you need to let me know. So I'm just going to hand that out in a second. Did you realise, if you turn to, one second, can't find it right now. Did you realise that journey is part of TCF? If clients can't understand what's going to happen to them, then you're not following TCF rules. Before they meet with you, if they don't understand it, then you're just not following rules. So, it's not about TCF. If you take your pen, 46, very quickly, cross out TCF wherever you see it, just cross it out. And Jean, I'd like you to stand up, if you would, please, and read nice and loudly the value of a business. Imagine you're shouting at Andrew.
The value of a business lies in the quality of its management, the most important valuation factor due to its rarity within the financial advice sector. Amongst other qualities, a business must demonstrate a good relationship with the regulator, good use of technology, recurring underlying maintainable profit, not just revenue or assets under management.
Who's hoping to sell their business in the next 10 years? Okay. And the myth around the industry is multiples of your current income, isn't it? This bloke, Richard Clark, the deal maker, because he makes lots and lots of major deals within financial services, and he's not stupid, this bloke, corporate finance partner, KPMG, says, oh no, it isn't. That's not the factor that intelligent buyers are looking for. If they're as ignorant as everybody else, they might be. But intelligent buyers don't look for that. It's the quality of the management systems in the business, and then the quality of the recurrent profit, not assets under management. Now, the profit might be driven by assets under management, but they're looking at the recurrent profit margin and the quality of your management of the conditions in your business. Not the number of clients you've got. Not interested in they're not interested in buying a book of business. They're interested in buying a business. I'll repeat that. They're not interested in buying a book of business. They're interested in buying a business that works without you. If it doesn't work without you, then it's not worth a lot. Because it then becomes a pain in the neck to get rid of you because you want to go. And they've got a serious management problem. Does that make sense? Can you see what they're looking for? Okay. Turn over to page 47. I want you to quietly read that, and every time you see TCF, cross it out. And if you cross it out, you must put a word instead. If you cross it out, you have to put a word instead. So I want to see what word you're putting in. Exercise, you must cross it out, but as you do so, you must replace it with another word. I wonder what that word is. Go on, Simon.
Up and all around the house, I know with consistency.
Consistency. Yeah. So read it out to me as you've put it down. Read each line that you put it in.
Okay, define what consistency means for the business.
Okay, what about the heading? How's that read?
Create an iron-step consistent business.
Okay.
Identify the key consistency issues.
All right.
That's it.
Good. Anybody got any different words apart from core competency? Saw it coming, Andy. Okay, could you read that out to me then, as in context of the...
Well, the next bit you mean, define what the mission statement means for the business.
Okay.
Identify the key system issues.
So you've got systems in one. What have you got for the heading?
Well, creating a nine-step perfect business.
Nine-step perfect business, okay. Now, that's interesting. Now I want you to go through it again and just define one word that could fit everywhere.
Talkom? No.
Jeremy, you tell me what you've got.
I just use the word success. So it's creating a nine-step successful business.
Successful business, okay. You want to carry that on through the page?
Define what success means for the business. Identify the key issues for success.
Okay. Peter, what have you got?
Well, I've got the 9-step conditioned business.
Conditioned business, okay. So how does that carry on down the page?
Not as well as it does in the title. That's when I was reverting to profitable, but there we go.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. What we're trying to do here is just get rid of TCF out of your mind and help you understand that there are some principles here that you and I have discussed today that really should be in the place of TCF, and that's what they're trying to communicate to you. And as a business leader, that's what you need to know and practice and develop and perfect.